Okay, we'll read from the Bhagavatam. It's a very interesting verse. 11th canto, 5th chapter, text 38-40. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I'll just read it. Kṛtādiṣu praja rājan kala vichanti sambhavan kalo kalo bhavishyante narayana parayana kvachit kvachin maharaja dravadeshu chaburashaha Amra parni nariyatra kritamala payasvini kavare cha mahapunya pratichi cha mahanadi ye vibanti jalam tasam manuja manujeshvara rayo bhakta bhagavate vasudeve malashaya. So King Nimi is being addressed here. My dear king, the inhabitants of Satyayuga and other ages eagerly desire to take birth in this age of Kali. Since in this age there will be many devotees of the Supreme Lord Narayan, these devotees will appear in various places, but will be especially numerous in South India. O Master of Men, in the age of Kali, those persons who drink the waters of the holy rivers of Dravidadesha, such as the Tamraparni, Kritamala, Payasvini, the extremely pious Kavari, and the Pratichi Mahananti, will almost all be pure-hearted devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. So, the purport, written by the servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. The Vedas contain information of past, present, and future living conditions throughout the universe. This is not very wonderful. For example, although at present time in India we are experiencing spring weather, we know that in the future the torrid summer will come, followed by the rainy season, autumn, and eventually winter and a new spring. Similarly, we know that these seasons have occurred repeatedly in the past. Thus, just as ordinary human beings can understand the past, present, and future seasons of the earth, the liberated followers of Vedic culture can easily understand the past, present, and future conditions of the seasonal ages of the earth and other planets. The inhabitants of Satyayuga are certainly aware of the conditions of Kali Yuga. They know that in Kali Yuga, the difficult material situation forces the living entity to take complete shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that the inhabitants of Kali Yuga therefore develop a high degree of love for Godhead. Therefore, although the inhabitants of Satyayuga are far more sinless, truthful, and self-controlled than the people of other ages, they desire to take birth in Kali Yuga in order to taste pure love of Krishna. It's amazing. I mean, this is something you hear from when you first join the movement. You hear about how the demigods are lining up to take birth on the earth planet. And people in other ages want to take birth, and people in other planets want to take birth. And this is the section of the Bhagavatam that describes this. So it's not just something that devotees made up or probably made up. It's right there in the 11th canto, 5th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Without association with the devotees of the Lord, no one can become an advanced devotee of the Lord. Therefore, since in Kali Yuga other Vedic processes collapse due to the unfavorable condition, and since the only authorized Vedic process is the devotional chanting of the Lord's holy name, which is available to everyone, there will undoubtedly be innumerable Vaishnavas or devotees of the Lord in this age. Birth in this age is very favorable for one who is eager to associate with the devotees. In fact, the Krishna Consciousness Movement is establishing authorized Vaishnava temples throughout the world so that in innumerable areas, one may avail himself of the association of pure Vaishnavas. Association with the devotees of the Lord is far more valuable than any amount of association with persons who are merely self-controlled, sinless, or expert in Vedic scholarship. Therefore, it is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 6th canto, 14th chapter, text 5, Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana asu durlabha parshantatma patishvabhi mahamune. O great sage, among many millions who are liberated and perfect in knowledge of liberation, one may be a devotee of Lord Narayana or Krishna. Such devotees who are fully peaceful are extremely rare. Similarly, it is stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in Majjhalila 22nd chapter, text 54, Sadhusanga, Sadhusanga, Sarvasashtakoi, Labhamatra, Sadhusanga, Sarvasiddhihoi. The verdict of all revealed scriptures is that by even a moment's association with a pure devotee, one can attain all success. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the words kvachit, kvachit in this verse indicate that in Kali Yuga, Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya will appear in Gaudadesh in the district of Nadia. And from this pivotal point, he will gradually expand the flood of love of Godhead to cover the entire earth. Many exalted devotees, such as Sri Advaitacharya, also take birth in Gaudadesh. The process of chanting the holy name of Krishna, Krishna Kirtan, is not limited to Kali Yuga. In the Vishnu Dharma, in relation to the story of the fallen son of a Kshatriya, it is stated, Nadesha niyamas tatra, nakala niyamas tatra, nochishtado nishedascha, Shri Harirnamni Uptakaha. There is no restriction of place or time, nor any injunction forbidding the accepting of remnants of foods, etc., when one has become greedy to chant the name of Shri Hari. Similarly, it is stated in the Skanda Purana, the Vishnu Dharma, and the Vaishaka Mahatmya section of the Padma Purana, Chakra Yudasya Namani Sada. Sarvatra Kirtiyat. The names of the Supreme Lord who has the disc as his weapon should be glorified always and everywhere. Similarly, the Skanda Purana states, Nadesha Kalavastatma Ashudyadikam Apekshate Kintu Swatantramevaitam Nama Kamita Kamadum. The name of the Lord need not be chanted with regard to place, time, circumstantial conditions, preliminary self-purification, or any other factors. Rather, it is completely independent of all of the processes and rewards all the desires of those who eagerly chant it. Similarly, it is stated in the Vishnu Dharma, Kalo Krita Yugam Tasya Kalistasya Krite Yuge Yashat Chetasi Govindo Vidaye Yasya Nachutaha. From one who has Lord Govinda in his heart, Satyayuga becomes manifest in the midst of Kali. And conversely, even Satyayuga becomes Kali Yuga for one who does not have the infallible Lord in his heart. Heavy statements here. The holy name of Krishna is potent everywhere at all times and all circumstances. Therefore, one should always chant the holy names of the Lord, either in Kali Yuga, Satyayuga in heaven, in hell, or in Vaikuntha. Krishna's holy name is eternally non-different from him, and Krishna is eternally the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, it is not that the holy name is powerful in this age only because other processes are not effective. It is also stated in the Sri Vishnu Purana that chanting the holy names of the Lord is far more potent than simply trying to remember the Lord through meditation. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 1st Chapter, Text 11, Shukadeva Goswami has stated, Etan nirvidyamananam ichatam akudo vayam yoginam ripa nirnitam harirnamnam kirtanam. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the waves of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. In his commentary on this verse in the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada has written, according to Sri Shukadeva Goswami, this way of attaining success, that's chanting the holy name, is an established fact, concluded not only by him, but also by all other previous acharyas. Therefore, there is no need of further evidence. The reader may consult Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse for a detailed explanation of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord and the offenses to be avoided in such chanting. In the Vaishnava Chintamani, there is the following statement. Agachit smaranam vishnur bhavya yasena satyate osta spandanam atrena kirtanam tu tatovaram. Although capable of destroying all sins, the remembrance of Lord Vishnu is achieved only with extraordinary effort. On the other hand, one may simply perform Krishna kirtan simply by moving one's lips, and thus this process is superior. Srila Jiva Goswami has also quoted the following verse. Yena janmas shatai puram vasudeva samakshitaka tanmuke harinamani sadatishtanti bharata. O descendant of Bharata, the holy names of Lord Vishnu are always vibrating the mouth of one who has previously worshipped Vasudeva perfectly for hundreds of lifetimes. The same idea is conveyed in the Srimad Bhagavatam by Srimati Devahuti in her statement to her son Kapila. Aho bhata swa pachato gariyan yad vagri varta te nam tubhyam te pustipas te juhuva sashna aryavram churnama granantu yate. O how glorious are they whose tongues are chanting your holy name. Even if born in the families of dog eaters, such persons are worshipable. Persons who chant the holy name of your lordship must have executed all kinds of austerities and fire sacrifices and achieved all the good manners of the audience. To be chanting the holy name of your lordship, they must have bathed at all the holy places of pilgrimage, studied the Vedas, and fulfilled everything required. Third canto, 33rd chapter, text 7. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami has concluded that it is possible to perform kirtanas equally in all ages. In Kali Yuga, however, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his causeless mercy, personally induces the living entities to take the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is thus quoted the Lord as follows. Enetaya shari maya nashibara lagi harinama maha mantra lav tumi magi. O conditioned souls who are foolishly sleeping on the lap of the witch Maya, I have brought an excellent medicine to cure the disease of your illusion. This medicine is called Harinama. It is my holy name, and by taking this medicine, you will get all perfection in this life. Therefore, I sincerely request you to please take this medicine that I have personally brought for you. In verse 32 of this chapter, it was stated, Yadyai Sankirtana Prayar Yajanti Sumedasa. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the word Sankirtana Prayahaya, which means mainly by the process of Sankirtan, indicate that although other processes such as deity worship may be performed to some extent in Kali Yuga, such processes, in order to be successful, must be favorably connected with the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. One who is performing worship of the Krishna deity should know that the most essential part of such deity worship is constant chanting of the holy names of the Lord. On the other hand, one who has perfectly chanted the holy name of the Lord need not depend on other processes as expressed in the following mantra. This one you all know. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nashteva, 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 Gotaranyata. As quoted from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, is also the Brihad Narada Purana. In this age of Kali, there is no alternative, there is no alternative, there is no alternative for spiritual progress other than the holy name of the Lord. As proved by all these evidences, the statement in the Bhagavatam, Kalim, that spiritually advanced persons worship the age of Kali due to the facilities offered in this age by the Lord is not at all contradictory. At the end of verse 40 in this chapter, it is stated, Prayo Mokta Bhagavati Vasudeva Malashyaha. In general, those who are able to regularly drink the waters of the holy rivers of South India will be pure-hearted devotees of Lord Vasudeva. The word prayaha, or in general, indicates that those who are offensive to the Lord's devotees, although claiming themselves to be devotees, are not included within the list of amala shayaha, or pure-hearted souls. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, has pointed out that one should not be bewildered by seeing the apparently poverty-stricken condition of the inhabitants of South India. Even nowadays, the inhabitants of these places mentioned in this verse generally spend their days with meager eating and clothing and live as great renounced devotees of the Supreme Lord. In other words, clothes do not make the man. To live as a polished animal, dressing oneself luxuriously and gratifying the tongue with rich foodstuffs is not the actual symptom of an advanced transcendentalist. Although the residents of South India are generally Sri Vaishnavas, or devotees in the Lakshmi Sampradaya, they are recognized as devotees of the Lord by the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, their austere living conditions should be taken as a good qualification and not a disqualification. And then Mr. Nath Chakrabarti Thakur's commentary. Pure bhakti arising from devotee association is generally available in Kali Yuga, where there are many devotees dedicated to Narayan who desire only bhakti. Bhakti will arise by their association, and this will become prema bhakti. This is what is expressed here. The word cha indicates other places like Bengal. So, any questions? It's pretty self-explanatory. It's pretty amazing. Because devotees talk about all these things sometimes, like Kali Yuga, everybody's waiting online. The previous verse is actually very nice too. So we'll get to that. I mean, the purports are quite long. Because these verses are extremely important in our understanding of Krishna consciousness. The teachings of the Navayogendras. The Navayogendras are actually the sons of Lord Vrishabhadeva. The nine Brahmin sons of Lord Vrishabhadeva. He had sons who were Kshatriyas, and of course his oldest son was who? Does anyone know? Who's the oldest son of Lord Vrishabhadeva?
In fact, I'm supposed to know, right?
You're supposed to know.
Yeah, I feel
like wait. I got it. The king.
Yeah, king.
Jayabharat.
Bharat
Maharaj. Jayabharat.
So the previous verse, let's see, the previous verse actually is also about Sankirtan. I mean, a lot of verses about Sankirtan. Indeed, there is no higher possible gain for embodied souls forced to wander throughout the material world than the Supreme Lord Sankirtan movement by which one can attain the supreme peace and free oneself from the cycle of repeated birth and death. It's really, I mean, there's a lot of stuff about the congregational chanting here and the verses before that. Those who are actually advanced in knowledge will be able to appreciate the essential value of this age of Kali. Such enlightened persons worship Kali Yuga because in this fallen age all perfection of life can be easily achieved by the performance of Sankirtan. So you have a lot of glorification of Kali Yuga in this section.
I got a question.
These are Navayogendras. Different ones do the preaching. Okay, so what's the question?
How is it that it says the holy name is always Krishna, always potent, etc.
In all the ages, yeah.
Right, but then it says that what can be achieved in hundreds of lifetimes in other ages by chanting and by doing, it's so difficult and is achieved in one life by chanting and Kali Yuga.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's explained in one of the purports here, which I didn't read, that Krishna makes it so miserable in Kali Yuga that forces us to take shelter of the holy names. Because they're, in other yugas, let's give the example, not only of other yugas, let's say this yuga, let's say you go to Hawaii. You know about Hawaii? Everything At least the weather in Hawaii is perfect. It's like, Prabhupada said, if there's any nice place in this material world, it's Hawaii. That's Prabhupada's direct statement, it's not mine. And I'm not going to argue with it. I just see a lot of misery in Hawaii. But anyway, so, how many really serious devotees do you see in Hawaii? I mean, let's not even talk about devotees. Let's talk about philosophers in this world. Do people contemplate life? How many philosophers have come from Hawaii? Okay, then let's look at the Earth's geography. Where do most philosophers in the world come from?
Germany?
No, let's say, you know, India, of course, that's spiritual. Let's take away India right now. But let's say in Europe and America, where do most philosophers come from?
Greece, Southeast Europe.
They usually come from where it's cold. If you go to the cold, warm climates like Africa, are there too many philosophers in Africa? Not too many. There are some. Because wherever it's more miserable, people start to think about where do they go to meditate in India usually?
Where it's cold.
Where it's cold, they go to the Himalayas. Because when everything's pleasant, you really become complacent. Like in Hawaii, I mean, there was one person who lived in Hawaii, and he was a Prabhupada disciple, I forget his name right now. He used to do a lot of Sankirtan. And he lived in the forest near the temple. What was his name? You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, he'd come out of the woods and
come out
eating
take
avocados
shot.
Or something.
Yeah, yeah, and he'd be eating avocados that were growing. Uh-huh. There were avocados this big in Hawaii.
Yeah, yeah, he would bring a big box of them, big box.
You know what I'm talking about. I forget his name right now. But he used to do a lot of Sankirtan. So he was living there, just living there. In Hawaii, he would just like, and the first time I went to Hawaii, I went with someone who I cannot mention. I tried to make friends with my first brother. And he took me to this waterfall that was near the temple. You know the waterfall, don't you? And he jumped off the waterfall, you know, into the water. I wouldn't do that. But it was just so pleasant, the atmosphere. And in Hawaii, the weatherman, he just puts on a recorded announcement. Because the weather is always the same, generally. I mean, there's always exceptions. But it's just, it's an amazing, it's like Satya Yuga, right?
So much more and more, it's becoming pretty corrupted, honestly.
Yeah, corrupt. I mean, it's corrupt is another thing. But the weather. The weather, the fruits, at least when I was there, and this giant banyan tree in the back of the temple.
Yeah, we leave our windows open year-round.
Yeah.
Basically live outside.
You don't need air conditioning, you don't need heat. It's just like, oh, so pleasant. And many of the devotees, I'm not criticizing anyone, are not very serious about this. There are devotees who are serious, but there's many devotees. It's hard to find a serious devotee there because everything is just so pleasant. I mean, we used to joke and call Honolulu, Honolulu, you know, which means crazy. And so when I first got to Hawaii, you know, I was a GBC. I don't think anybody in the temple is following the regulated principles. The Pujaris, the lady Pujaris had boyfriends over for the night, and the male Pujaris had girlfriends. And you had someone who should remain nameless selling something at the front door of the temple during the Sunday feast. Someone who Mayapur knows. And because I cracked down on all these, let us say, activities that weren't exactly pure devotional service, then people got angry with me. And they said, you know, you don't know how devotional this person is. I said, well, he was selling faith that he shouldn't have sold to the front door of them. But it's in his heart. Krishna's in his heart. You know, they're from the gurus all the time. Krishna's in their heart. And they love him. I said, all right, I accept they love him, but Not around me. So, in other words, things were so pleasant, it was hard to surrender to Krishna. And in America, for example, you don't find too many philosophers coming from Florida, from Georgia, from the southern states. You know, most of the serious universities, really serious universities, are further north. You know, like you go to Boston, you got, what is it, MIT, right? And you got Harvard. And in New Jersey, you got Princeton. And, you know, North Carolina, you got Duke, which is good. But you go any further south, I mean, they're all right, but they're not really top of the top universities like they are in the north. So generally, where there's more misery, people tend to be more thoughtful. Generally. I mean, there's always exceptions. It's a general rule. So in Kali Yuga, I mean, what can you take shelter of in Kali Yuga? The mode of goodness is not there. The weather patterns are horrible. You can't remember any damn thing. Isn't it? Manda samanda matiyo manda bhagyo padracha. You're unfortunate. Your relatives and your friends are trying to steal from you and cheat you. If you win the lottery, I mean, that's it, because everyone will become your friend and cheat you, and your life will become miserable. So, therefore, there's more impetus to surrender, isn't it? Just like we're talking before, because everybody on the internet can hear. We were talking before about criticism on the internet. You know, so you really can't take so much shelter about your position and prestige, isn't it? You know, when I first took sannyas, I was thinking, now I got it made, you know, prestigious. Everyone bow down, Mr. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, you know. Boy George. I thought, yeah, and then you become a guru and just, wow. Now you got it made, you know, this Mahaprasadam. What else do you get? What are the other
donations?
Donations and all that. And people love you. Guru Maharaj, Jai Guru Dev, Jai Guru Dev. I mean, one of the first years I became a guru, we used to have like Guru Puja every Sunday for you. Remember that? And, you know, the cookie throws and that. You remember that?
Yeah, that's fun.
The good old days.
And then I was thinking, oh, they love me. They're singing my name. I remember in the early days, not me, but there was another guru who wouldn't leave his room unless they were chanting his name.
Really?
Yeah. And so I said, Maharaj, it's time for Bhagavatam class. He said, I want every devotee down here chanting my name. Jaya Guru Deva, Jaya Guru Deva. Then it comes out. Like that. So after a while, in Kali Yuga, you really get smashed for stuff like that. Mm-hmm. In Kali Yuga, in Satya Yuga, think, you know, this is real peaceful, everybody's nice. Oh, it's really a mode of goodness. But in Kali Yuga, either you have Vaishnavism or basically the lower modes of nature. Mm-hmm. You don't get much of a choice. Mm-hmm. But you got other choices. And you got a longer life, you got strong memory, you got not so many diseases. You know, people just like nice. They don't cheat in Satya Yuga. So you become very complacent. So that's the reason why Kali Yuga is advantageous. But if you take shelter of the holy name in any yuga, the holy name is always Nanda or Krishna. That's explained in the purports here, actually. Because Kali Yuga is more impetus. I mean, it's miserable, basically. I mean, you got a mix. I mean, it's too cold, too hot, you know, people criticize you. It's painful. I mean, actually, the most painful thing is when people who you have a close relationship with criticize you, as described as more painful than a knife in the heart. And this happens in Kali Yuga. So then you just have to take shelter. I've seen that happening.
Sorry, I criticize you all the time.
No, it's fun. But I've seen it happen again and again. And you know, you're just like, taking shelter of that false prestige, thinking you're great, you're wonderful, people love you, and then you realize my only shelter is Krishna's name. And that's Kali Yuga. All right, any other questions? Yeah.
Just want to point a friend with principles, because like at the moment, if this is where I live, because it's a big community, there's naturally a variety of devotees. And like my experience is that because there's so many devotees who are sincerely maybe trying to be connected to Krishna, but they're not following all the four regulative principles, but because there's almost more of those who are following regulative principles, it's almost like it's become a taboo. You can't really talk about it, you can't really address it, you can't even anymore say anything like, hey, don't do that, because all hell breaks because everyone's like, what, you know.
Yeah, don't criticize.
So, you're not, I guess my question is not about criticism, but just...
don't impose your values on others.
Yeah. But let's say in relation to a community, you know, how would you navigate?
Well, that's actually an interesting question. A very interesting question, and I thought about that one. And it's also the community you come from. The weather is very nice there, generally. Except when it rains, you get trapped in the temple.
Yes. But that's actually lots of fun for those who live at the
It's temple. Fun. Yeah. But you can't get to the temple if you don't live in the temple. Because there's a bridge, there's a river that actually divides the temple land from the road. And the bridge is just like about this much over the river. So as soon as they get a lot of rain,
flash flood.
Yeah, the bridge goes under the river, and that's it. And it's not only the bridge, but the land itself. A lot of the land itself goes under the water. So I thought about that before. How do you do that? And there's one group, several groups actually. There's the Amish and the Mormons. How they do it. And I'm not suggesting we should do it that way. It's just the thought has gone through my mind about different ways that other groups do it. What they do is they shun people. I'm not saying that we do that. I'm just exploring different alternatives. Mm-hmm. That you actually, they would shun them. Shun them means they don't talk to them, they don't interact with them, they're out. And once you do that, there's a heavy negative consequence for someone doing it. Because in our right now in our movement, there's no heavy consequence for doing anything. And you're not just your community, but any community we're in. There's no heavy consequence for doing any damn thing. And of course, we shouldn't have a heavy consequence because we're supposed to be compassionate and merciful. So what I thought of as a possible alternative, because it is something that's actually been important as far as community building. You can't really have people who are, let us say, deviating, for lack of a better word, mixing freely socially with people who are not, because it brings everybody down to the lowest common denominator. So then I take the model of Shirangam, where they actually have different sections of the city for Brahmin, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. And in the Brahmin section, I'm sure that everybody's acting, or most people acting Brahminically at least. And then Kshatriyas, you know, they have, so people are of a different nature. Because according to the Varnashram culture, a Shudra is not able to refrain from doing those things. Specifically, you're talking about taking herbal medicine, right? Yeah. That's my understanding. And, of course, illicit sex. But Shudras are not able to refrain from that. Therefore, there's only one samskara that Shudra has, which is Vibaha Yajna. That's the only thing. They're not twice born. So one thing we do in this kind is we give second initiation some places too freely. And, Prabhupada actually, what Bhakti Tirthamaraj did was quite interesting. I'm not saying what he did was be what I would do. What he did was if someone broke the principles, he'd take their name away from them. He said, you're no longer Krishna Das, you're Kevin. Mm-hmm. That's heavy.
That is pretty heavy.
That's pretty heavy. And, you know, he did that. I'm not saying, I don't know if that's a solution, but there was some social consequence. The point is, there has to be some social consequence. Not that we're not merciful to everybody, but without a social consequence, you're not going to be able to have a stable ecumenical society.
Yeah, because what happens is that it becomes the norm to take herbal medicine.
Because it
becomes more of the norm than not doing it. So
yeah, because you become desensitized to it, and it becomes just... And then it's more attractive for those who wouldn't have taken it otherwise. Because, I mean, it's just socially acceptable. So there has to be, if there's no social consequence, I mean, this is just sociology 101. If there's no social consequence, then you're going to have a mess of a society. If everybody is one, regardless of their level of following, it doesn't work. That's why you have Varnashram. That's what Prabhupada wanted, Varnashram. At the same time, you've got to have mercy. You can't be like the Mormons. You can't be like the Amish people. So I believe the Varnashram is the solution to that. You know, you're not a Brahmin. You're doing that, you're not a Brahmin. It's all right. We love you. You're a devotee.
Yeah, you can be engaged still.
You can still do anything. You can't go on the altar, obviously.
Yeah.
And you can work with the other devotees, but you should live in a separate area. I mean, just like you have an area for the woofers there. They don't live with the devotees. So, I mean, it's hard when you have a society like America, Australia, where it's more democratic. You know, it's just like to discriminate. I mean, it's really hard to do something like that in a society when everybody is, you know, equal.
And it's not that everyone lives on the same community, as in like on the same land, so that you can segregate. Everyone lives in their own homes.
Well, you have to have certain areas. But then, you know, what do you do? I mean, it's how to institute that when you have a egalitarian, that was the word I was looking for, egalitarian society. Very hard, but you got to do it. There has to be social consequence. There has to be. Not denigration, not criticism, but some sort of social consequence. You know, we're not criticizing you, but you're not able to follow. That's all right. That's your choice. But you know, we have this area for living for people who can follow. I'm not saying I'm better than you. You know that you really have to be careful not to say that you're better or more spiritually advanced than someone. It's just like these are objective principles, and it's your choice. It's your choice where you're living. I'm not choosing. If you decide to choose to follow the principles, you can live here. I'm not discriminating against you. You're choosing. Anyway, so how to do it? Get from here to there. Your guess is as good as mine, but my feeling is Varnashram is the solution to that. Okay, I think we're going to have to end. Interesting discussion. Thank everybody for joining us online today. We have the peanut gallery here, you see. And the deities there. And Krishna, who's hopefully smiling by now. I hope so. Okay, got a lot of people watching.